Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. This is Dr. John, ready for another week of great stuff in the Comic-Con world. I've got with me tonight Matt Hayward with Dark Matter Cosplay from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We'll be speaking with him in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of the lowdown on what's been going on in the Comic-Con world and what's coming up, at least in this part of our world. This weekend was the big two-day Fayetteville Comic-Con at the Crown Center in Fayetteville. Thousands of people showed up, and it was just an absolutely wonderful experience for everybody. Lots of Walking Dead people there. I think I counted eight in the last photograph that I saw when they were all together. Another event in Wilmington was the Paracon, Paranormal Comic-Con, at the Rusty Nail. Papa Stro Maestro was one of the featured guests, along with Port City Paranormal and several other great guests and mediums. It was a lot of fun. Now, next week, on October the 22nd, is the Crystal Coast Comic-Con. That's in Cape Carteret, just outside of Jacksonville, North Carolina. There'll be a lot of stars. Really, it's more of a pop culture event than it is a Comic-Con. We'll have Zoe Palmer, Herbert Jefferson Jr. He was in Apollo 13 and in Battlestar Galactica. Noah Hathaway, Toby Levins, Samantha Newark, and, of course, Papa Stro Maestro will be there as well. We will be there doing a special live podcast from the Crystal Coast Comic-Con. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be doing that at 12 o'clock noon. Papa Stro Maestro said he would join us, along with several other of the stars that will be at the Crystal Coast Comic-Con. And then coming up on October the 29th, we've got the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con in beautiful, beautiful Wilmington, North Carolina, at the Coastline Conference Center. We got big guests lined up there, including the artist Greg Bo Watson. What's extra special about Greg Bo, not that he's not a wonderful artist already, but it is his artwork that is running on the X-Files commercial currently being played nationwide. So everybody in the country is getting to see what the Palmetto State has known all along, that Greg Bo Watson is one fantastic comic book artist. Papa Stro Maestro and Ivan Koloff will be there. We've got, so far, six walkers from The Walking Dead. Roman Gabriel, the NFL quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, will be there. Fear Shop, a brand new exhibit in Wilmington that's really taken the town by storm, they will be there, and they will be doing a show for us. Also, Alex Sinise, who is a producer of a new movie called Baphomet, he will be there with some outtakes, and he'll be there talking to folks. So we're going to have a great weekend on October the 29th. We'll also be having a steampunk Halloween celebration, and Papa Stro Maestro will be leading the Kids Halloween Walk beginning at 5:15 p.m. on Saturday, October the 29th, from the Coastline Conference Center all the way down to the Museum of the Bazaar. So a lot of good things going on, and we'll keep you posted with everything. Be sure to check out our website, comiconstars.com. We'll also be having a list of some of the folks coming up in the next few weeks so that you can plan your schedule if you see someone you really want to hear live. Otherwise, you can, of course, just click and listen to it as it's archived on there. Right now, I'd like to welcome Matt Hayward with Dark Matter Cosplay. Matt, how's it going this evening?
Man, you know what? I can't complain. I look outside. I'm actually on my back porch right now, and it's a beautiful night. Stars are out and shining, and, you know, luckily I didn't have any damage from the hurricane. So as we stay here in South Carolina, there's worse places you could be.
Well, that's right. What I always say is it's nice to live where 17 million people a year want to come visit.
Amen on that, brother. Amen on that.
That's exactly right. I live on the south end of the Strand, and I know you're down there in the middle. Anyway, I'm glad to have you here. Thanks for being with us. You and I met this past February, I believe, in Charleston at the Captain's Expo. You and your cosplay troupe were working very hard. I think you were helping put on the cosplay expo. And I asked you if you and your group would help us at the Cape Fear Comic Con, which was in April, and you were kind enough to say yes. And lo and behold, we've become friends. We've done a number of things together, and it's really been a lot of fun. So why don't you do this? Why don't you tell us how you got involved in cosplay? You're one of the younger stars in the cosplay world. Some of the stars are a little bit older. You're one of the younger, and I'm not going to say up and coming because you're a star now. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in this wonderful and crazy world.
So that's actually a really funny story, and it actually begins back when I was in college. I went to the wonderful Coastal Carolina University, and I had the pleasure of studying theater while I was there. And while you're doing theater, you also have to do a little bit of costuming. I start to dabble in your basics, your sewing and certain prop making and prosthetics and things like that, never thinking at any point it was ever going to actually, benefit me in my everyday life on a fun level, not on the career level. So fast forward a few years later, I'm at a convention with one of my buddies, who I'm going to give a shameless plug to. If any of you guys are video game fans, make sure you go ahead and check out Up, Up, Down, Down. That's my boy Xavier Woods, Austin Creed. That's his video gaming channel. So now that's over. We were at a convention in DragonCon, and just, hanging out in our normal clothes. And he says, it would be really cool. And I was like, what's that, man? He's like, if we could next year dress up like something. And I was like, yeah, well, what do you want to do? He's like, I don't really care, man. Just let's do something cool. So we started shooting around ideas and thinking. And he's like, well, where should we buy this stuff from? And I was like, instead of buying it, why don't you give me a chance at, like, maybe trying to make it? I remember doing a little bit of this from school. So, let's see what happens. And then, honestly, John, from there, it just kind of took off. I've been doing it ever since. And learning bits and pieces from people in the craft, picking up the little tips and stuff like that you learn from experience from people who've done it before me. And then I just added my own flair to it. And ever since then, John, kind of taken off.
Exactly. That's really kind of neat how that all happened. But now you've also got some other background that really led you, I think, a little bit into cosplay, because you have some wrestling blood in you. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my grandfather wanted to be a professional wrestler when he was younger, so he started learning how to wrestle. And then from there, when he retired, I decided I would pick up the craft and started wrestling under the name Michael Mosley. And then I started having to, wear certain wrestling gear and stuff like that. So I started, figuring out how do I do simple sews and how do I make jackets and things of that nature. And then next thing you know, I'm making gear for the boys in the back and I'm wrestling, had a quick little brief stint on TV. So that's kind of where my wrestling career went. And then since then, I've kind of stopped with the in-ring action. And actually this past year, I've been fortunate enough to get the awesome phone call to go down and work for WWE for the WrestleMania event. So I went down there and built some costumes for them. And let me tell you, John, that was a cool experience.
Yeah. I'm sure it was. Now, didn't you do something extra special for Becky Lynch for that one?
I did, and unfortunately she hasn't had a chance to debut them yet, so I don't know if I'm supposed to really talk about it. But for the people on your podcast,
okay,
I'll go ahead and let you in a little bit. We built these 8-foot wings, the diameter of the wings, from the tip of the wings to the centerpiece, were 8 feet. And it's just, they're beautiful. They're a steampunk version of wings. When she moves her hands a certain way, the wings open up. And when she moves her hands back, they close. They have lights and all cool sorts of cool fun things on it, just to give her that really cool that extra emphasis to it. But besides doing her stuff, we also had the pleasure of working on some of Shane McMahon's outfits. Got the pleasure of working on some of Charlotte Flair's stuff. Becky Lynch, of course, Sasha Banks, and numerous other stars. We got to have the chance to not build their stuff, but work in the creation of building. So it was a lot of fun, really cool.
Neat. That's great. Now you mentioned steampunk. That's kind of an important thing to me because steampunk seems to be growing and growing. And in fact, in maybe a month or two, we're going to have the famed steampunk builder Stephen Chapman on, and he's maybe you can join us when we have Stephen there, because since you have a little bit of background in steampunk, and I think Alex Baker from Virginia Beach, who is a big steampunker, he's gonna join us as well. So, yes, steampunk is still up and coming, and it's still great. And in fact, we're having a steampunk con in Raleigh on February 11th and 12th. It's called Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. I think you and your group are going to be there, aren't you?
Well, you know what, John? You can't burden us with a good time. If it's something that's going to be fun, and we get to stress a little bit of our creativity out there and really get to play with costumes and our imaginations, then you know we're going to be there. And I'm glad, though, that someone's actually focusing on the aspect of steampunk, because I think steampunk and anime, as big as they are in the culture, are two things that don't really get that much love at a lot of these conventions. Now, yeah, sure, a lot of people buy the animes, and a lot of people buy the steampunk goggles, but not a lot of people are wearing the costumes, and not a lot of people are taking the time to really develop them. We have a couple of good friends down here, a group called Wayland Forge, and they do a lot of that weird, obscure stuff, and I wish there was more people like that are, you know, really dabbling in the cool new steampunk feel. I think that would definitely add a certain element to our community, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yes, it does. And also, both you and Wayland Forge, don't you guys make props such as swords and helmets and things like that?
Yeah, Wayland Forge actually does a large majority of the props. And the way that we actually work our system is to contact Wayland Forge or myself with Dark Matter Cosplay. And if they want a costume and a prop, they just, you know, so they say, hey, Wayland Forge, this is the costume and prop we want. And then he goes, not a problem. He takes care of the prop. He shoots us the order for the costume. We knock it out. We mail them out together. So while we're two different companies, we're just one.
Right. Well, it's great when you've got someone good in your area that you can work with. That's always important. Now, you mentioned Dark Matter Cosplay. And that's getting a little bit outside just you. That is your cosplay troupe. Tell us a little bit about how they got started and how you built that group. Because every time I see them, I see new people, great costumes. People really love them, especially in this part of South Carolina and part of North Carolina. So how did you get Dark Matter Cosplay started?
So real fast, before I answer that, I want to let you know, I actually have Steven, the head of Wayland Forge, who's actually sitting right here with me. He just happened to come over today for one of our get-togethers. So maybe if in a little bit, if he's up to it, we may have him jump on here and you can talk to him a little bit about the prop making and stuff of that nature. But now Dark Matter Cosplay started off actually as just a group of people who love costumes and costume building. So what we decided to do was like, hey, let's all come together and let's work together and see how we can really grow. So some people in the group are really good at painting, but they're not so good at sewing. Or some are really good at foam work, but they're not as good at painting, you know, around the whole board. So what it is it's now it's grown to a fantastic group of about 12 of us where we all come together and we all help each other work on costumes. So say this week I'm building a Thanos costume. Everyone comes in, we're all hands on deck, and everyone works and adds ideas and brings ways and methods to make that costume. And then once the costume is created, then we move on to the next person, and we all help out there. So we're more of a community within a community of costume builders, if that makes any sense.
Sure does. Well, that's great, and it's good that you're building a community like that, because that's what an area like Myrtle Beach really needs. Now, didn't you and your group head down to Dragon Con this year? And some people might not be familiar with Dragon Con. Tell us a little bit about Dragon Con and some of the good fortune that you and your group had down there.
So Dragon Con is like the pinnacle of conventions, in my opinion, on the East Coast. Now, there's a lot of conventions. Super awesome, and that's amazing. And Dragon Con, because it's been around for 30 years, has the awesome standpoint of being one of the older ones, as well as, you know, making a lot of the big moves that a lot of conventions are able to follow. So this year, I don't know how many, but I want to say well over 80,000 people were at Dragon Con. And so we had the distinct honor, which is crazy because, I mean, there's cosplay builders from around the world that come to this convention, and we were lucky enough to be able to speak on a panel, actually two panels, about costume building and video games, which is so awesome. And not to mention that also in our group this year, we got to meet the awesome Michael Wilson, who does Night Mage, and his costuming and cosplays are so brilliant, and got to learn a lot from him. The cool thing about him is he takes store-bought costumes and he turns them into over-the-top awesome things.
That's great. I think several people have made careers doing that. There's Gallon Food Network that does exactly that. She'll start with, as you said, store-bought things, and then all of a sudden she'll create something fantastic. So that's kind of a good signature way of doing costumes. I know a lot of people go into a store and buy something, and then they'll really fix it up. So that's good. Now, you folks might have a gig back at Dragon Con next year, right?
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going back next year. We've actually already been in talks, and they've already expressed interest in bringing us back for another costuming panel as well as a gaming panel. And then, of course, we do the wrestling and stuff like that out there. You know, it's interesting when you talk about Dragon Con because I just want to talk about really conventions in general, but how cool the people are that you meet at conventions. Mm-hmm. We happen to come across amongst meeting random friends, meeting up with Babs Tarr. And a lot of people may not know Babs Tarr by the name, but they've all seen her work. She's actually one of the co-creators of the new Batgirl. So now, you know, we're hanging out with people like Babs, and of course we have like my buddy Xavier and Michael, and all these people who you see on TVs or you read in comics, and you get to meet them in real life and realize they're just normal people just like you, just normal comic book nerds who have a love for the art, a love for the craft, and then all of a sudden you're hanging out and you become, you know, everyday friends. So now, you know, as I'm driving through, I'll shoot Babs a text message and ask her how her new comic books are doing, or she'll shoot me a message asking me how my costumes are doing, or Michael, you know, shoot me a message asking me how to do something with lights, and vice versa. I'll shoot him a message asking him how to do something with foam. And so it's just cool to see these people who you idolize start to become, you know, normal everyday people, and more than that, becoming your friends. And you meet these people from conventions. So for anyone who's never gone to a convention, there's definitely more benefits besides buying stuff or getting to dress up. There's a certain camaraderie that the nerd community has that a lot of any other communities do not. Does that make any sense, John?
It sure does, because I know that I had gone to some Comic-Cons years back, and I hadn't gone to any in years. And all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, I took Carolina Caricatures, me and a friend of mine who's a business partner, we started doing caricatures at a number of at Comic-Cons, and then it became apparent that it'd be great to run some. And then as I met a lot of these people that are now friends of mine, started this show. So, you know, good opportunities can grow and come out of the Comic-Con and the comic book world. All you have to do is go around and talk to people and see what really cool people they are. I can tell you, one of the more interesting things, if you want to talk about wrestling, because I'm such a big wrestling fan, is that Greg Bo Watson, the artist I was speaking about a little bit earlier, his 18-year-old son has now become a wrestling star over in eastern South Carolina. And, in fact, he'll be doing some things with us at the Cape Fear Comic-Con coming up this March in Wilmington. So it's funny how you meet an artist, and then his son happens to be a wrestler and starts doing some work with you and some promotion. So it's really a lot of fun, and it's a great world. Now, in terms of cosplay, where do you see things going? What do you see some of the trends, and where do you see it going in the next year? Because you're one of the real builders and innovators.
It's a hard question, and the reason why it's so hard is because I think the cosplay community recently, within the last 5 to 10 years, has really grown in power. And it's hard to predict where the community will go based off the next trends. At one point, there were 1,001 Spider-Man costumes, and then there are, you know, 1,001 Daredevil, or, sorry, Deadpool costumes, and then Harley Quinn, and then all of a sudden the resurgence of the Boba Fetts. So it's really hard to tell where the community is going as far as at conventions. One thing I am excited about, though, that I think is really fascinating, is starting to see the idea of cosplay invading our everyday culture, more importantly, schools. We're starting to see more and more schools taking advantage of the costume characters, the cosplay characters, to come and read to their students, to come and deliver positive messages. And it's really fascinating because it shows how much of an impact somebody sitting behind a sewing machine, you know, for 15 hours can make on a young person's life. And that might not even be their original goal. So as far as the trends of the cosplay community, I'm not sure where it's going to go. If I had to predict, it would be something to do with, you know, Star Wars, because, you know, the new movies are coming out. Definitely a huge superhero resurgence, especially the B character heroes. I say B characters not as a way of insulting, but, you know, some of the characters that people weren't really, you know, originally familiar with. Take, for example, Guardians of the Galaxy. Not a lot of people knew who Star-Lord was. So I think you're going to see a lot of those starting to pop up. But as far as the actual community, John, I can't really tell you the direction it's going to go, but I can tell you that I'm excited to see where it does end up.
Right. And one thing that I've seen that I had no idea just how powerful even the comic book world would become is in adult literacy. Now, I found out about this in working with the Cape Fear Literacy Council, who we raised money for at the last Cape Fear Comic-Con. They said that comic books were great for adults learning to read. And now, believe me, there are a lot of adults who can't read. They don't tell anybody, but they try to go to get help through literacy councils. And so when they train them to read, they don't give them the old Sally, Dick, and Jane books that we all had in first grade. They give them comic books to read because, first of all, it's trendy. It's something people enjoy, and it's not embarrassing. So comic books, just in and of themselves, are making their way into adult literacy. I know more and more that schools are having cosplay days and letting students enjoy and learn more about creativity by putting on, and not just costumes that they buy at a store, but they're saying you can't come in with just a store-bought costume. You have to make something out of it that's different than what it was that you bought. So it's a really good thing, and so it's beginning to permeate into our culture, just like games have now become educational. So I think all of these
Absolutely.
Things that we looked at as just pure entertainment are now becoming really more mainstream education and helping students and adults learn. So anyway, I guess the next thing I'd like to talk about is, where are you guys going to be headed? I know you're coming to the Cape Fear Halloween Con. Where are you headed in terms of events and things in the next couple of months? And do you have anything special going on over Christmas?
I'm going to be honest with you. We have a couple of conventions coming up. We have Cape Fear, then we have the Myrtle Beach Comic Con. And then after that, we actually take a huge break from about Thanksgiving all the way through to the first of the year. I have a beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. little girl. And I'm, you know, big on, I didn't get to spend a lot of holidays with my family growing up. So I try to make sure that the holiday times are her time, you know? So we don't typically do any conventions during that period. But I want to take a time out and I want to talk about something really funny. Speaking of my little girl, beautiful 2-year-old going on 3, or I should say 2 going on 16, if you know what I mean. And, I look at her and I say, "Hey, what do you want to be for Halloween?" And she says, "Elsa." Of course, all little kids want to be Elsa. So I say, "Well, who do you want Daddy to be?" And she says, "Anna." So at this point, I'm stumped. But you know what? She wants Daddy to be Anna. So I'm working on a male version of Anna for Halloween, which is going to be so cool. So I'll have my little Elsa, and I'll be her grown-up Daddy Anna. So it's going to be fun. I'll send you some pictures. You'll love it.
Great. So can we have a picture to put up on Comic-Con Stars for that one?
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely send you a picture for that. And if anybody wants to know a little bit about what we do and wants to see some of our work, or even better, if they just have questions and they want to know more about, like, how to build things, we always tell people that they can reach out to us. The easiest way to reach out to us is via Instagram. And I'm going to spell our Instagram out once now, and then I'll spell it out again at the end of the show for you. But it's the real Michael Mosley. I'm going to spell it out. That's THEREALMIKALMOSLEY. And there you can find all the pictures that we've put up there, as well as you can shoot us a message on there. We have no problem ever answering questions. We have this whole philosophy, and it goes like this. If you send me a message and ask me to make a costume for you, I'm going to charge you that costume at my price. If you send me a message and say, can you help me make this costume, I'm going to help you, and we're not going to charge you a dime. Because what we want to do is we want to push the cosplay community, and we want to help it grow. And the way to do that is by helping people learn how to make these costumes. So you can find all of our pictures there, and you can always, as always, shoot us a message on there, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions, help you out along the way, or anything like that.
Well, that's great. That's a great philosophy, and that's a great way to grow in your business and to help the community. So we can't say enough to thank you for that. In fact, what I will do is at the end of the show tonight, I will put up a link for your contact so that people can get in touch with you. And if they need a little bit of help creating a neat costume, they can get up with you and you can help them. And that would be a good thing. Thank you very much for that.
Anytime.
All right, now, you said that you had a buddy of yours with Wayland Forge that is a real expert in prop making. Is he around that we could chat with him for just a few minutes?
He absolutely is. Let me go see where he's at. But, yeah, let me tell you a little bit about him. They are
okay.
Probably one of the most, I'd say, premier group of cosplayers around. They take each project they work on, they take their time and their detail with. And it's really cool. I've watched them take things like pieces of foam and broken down branches and really turn them into some awesome work. But he's actually sitting right next to me, so I'm going to pass him over to you. Yeah, please feel free to ask him any question you may have.
Sure. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Thanks for being on with us tonight. I guess the first question I wanted to ask you is, what are some of the most popular props that you have recently made, and what are some of the favorite ones that you make?
I've actually had a lot of requests for swords from the TV show Adventure Time. Some of my favorites I had done the Dwarven Bow of Fate from Skyrim. It was a lot of detail. It took me a lot of time, but the end product was pretty beautiful, and I've gotten a lot of compliments on it.
Great. Now, do you make a lot of swords, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of swords, staves. I've pretty much been getting a lot of requests for weapons of swords.
Okay, yeah, weapons are very popular with the cosplay community. But where you live, don't you have really a large workshop with a lot of tools, a lot of woodworking tools and things like that to make these props, don't you?
Yep, I am lucky enough to have the space and have either gotten hand-me-downs from my family, and I've gotten a lot of tools, giving me a lot of options on how to make things. I've used lathes to turn pipes and staves, and I've used CNC machines, bandsaws. So yeah, I've used a lot. I got a lot of tools I've been able to use. That being said, a lot of the techniques I've used can be done with simpler tools. They just take more time.
Right, and they're a little more professional when you have the tools to do it right. The end product is just going to look better, isn't it?
Yes, on some techniques, yes.
Right. So, what is the favorite prop that you have recently made? And just tell us a little bit about it. You don't have to go into too much detail, but just tell us what's the coolest prop that you have recently made.
see. Coolest one I have recently made was actually a replica of the staff Loki used in the Avengers film. And I was actually able to get some LED lights and make it so that the parts of the staff would actually glow as they did in the film.
Wow, that's great. Now, do you have a picture of that?
I do have a web page. I'm not sure if I've yet been able to post a picture of that, but it will be added eventually. All my
right. We'll put a link to that. Yeah, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying what we'll do is we'll put a link to that up on the website Comic-Con Stars so people can see that as well. I didn't know we were going to be so fortunate to get to speak with you tonight, but I sure do appreciate that. I tell you what, can you get Michael back on the line?
Certainly.
Okay, thank you.
No problem at all.
Hey.
Well, thanks. That's great. Yeah, it's nice to know that there are some good prop makers around. I know that you can go around to various Comic-Cons and see props that aren't very good, but when you can find a master builder like Wayland Forge, it's good to know how to contact them. So we'll add that information up on our website as well. I like to try to do that after I've spoken with someone so the folks can figure out how to get in touch with them and talk to them about the great things they do. So I tell you what, do you have any other good stories that have happened to you in the Comic-Con world in your travels in the last several years?
Yeah, you know, a funny story. We were walking through the store one day, and this kid walks up to me and goes, "I know you." And I was laughing. I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm sure you do." He's like, "No, I really do." And I was like, "No way." And he was like, "Yeah, I really do know who you are." And I was like, "Well, who am I?" He's like, "You're that guy who does the costumes." And I was like, "Okay, whatever, dude." So I walked away, and we laughed, and, you know, said bye to him. I took about maybe 10, 15 steps away from him, and he tagged me in a picture on Instagram saying how he met one of his favorite costumers. And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." That was kind of fun.
That's right. But you never know exactly who you'll meet when you're in a store, do you?
No, and it's you know, it's more so crazy to think about how much of an impact you have on people. I think sometimes we don't think about that. Like, we think of it as simple things that we do, mundane things that we do, and we don't realize that every person that we meet, you know, we have some sort of impact on, whether it be positive or negative. And so I think that's one of those things that helps remind you to always stay, you know, humble, and as well as, you know, treat everyone with respect, because you don't know who's watching. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. You never do know who's watching, especially when you're at an event and you're always a performer. I think you really are.
Absolutely.
Well, look, Michael Mosley, better known as Matt Hayward of Dark Matter Cosplay, we have enjoyed speaking with you this evening. This will be up and archived for everyone to hear, and I will grab a couple of those links from you and get those posted as well, so that people can see some resources on you, find out how to contact you, and also how they can contact Master Prop Makers at Wayland Forge. How does that sound?
That sounds great. But, you know, John, I'm going to go one step further. For anyone who shares your podcast, and anyone who tells their friends and they send a link tagging you in it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make a special video that I'm going to put on Facebook, put on YouTube, and I'm going to share the link just with you guys. And anyone who tags you in it, you can send them that link where I show people how to make a fully working Iron Man helmet with eyes that light up for under $20.
You are near and dear to my heart when you say things like under $20, sir.
Oh, yeah. What's that old phrase? If it's cheap or free, it's for me. That's how we work. There's so many different cool ways of taking things inexpensively. And making items that look like you spent hundreds of dollars on them. And that's one of the things that we've, you know, gladly gotten a chance to learn how to do. And we want to share that. And I want to give first tips to anyone who subscribes or shares the link for your podcast.
Well, you know, I think Teddy Braswell, who you met at the Florence Cosplay Expo, the Mad Hatter, if you remember, everything about his costume he made, he bought it at Goodwill, and he had absolutely the best costume at that little event, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic, fantastic.
Right, and so, you know, I think at the real heart of cosplay is to be able to find things and basically build them from the ground up. That's what cosplay is all about. It's not about buying. I mean, it's okay to buy a costume. Little kids enjoy that. But I think the real cosplayers, they build their own things. They either build or get their own props made. And that's really one way that I think cosplay is going to grow, because it gets people involved in the world of craft. It really does.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people, too, misunderstand is that you don't have to be great to be a good cosplayer. All you've got to do is be willing to go out there and try and really, really, really put your heart into something. It may not be the greatest thing in the entire world, but you're going to learn with that experience. And there's nothing greater than putting on something that you've had a chance to make. And that's the thing, is that anyone can cosplay. All you got to do is put just a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, and a whole lot of love. And that's all it takes.
It really is. And dedication, because as people get better and better and better, they can start winning cosplay expos. They can start winning at Comic-Cons. And there's a real future for folks in the entertainment business that are good and can start out as cosplayers. I mean, if you look at the great cosplayers back in the 1920s and 30s, I've had several conversations with Teddy Braswell's father, Alan. Lon Chaney Sr. Did his own. There was no notion of a makeup artist at the old studios. They had to do it all themselves. And those brilliant makeups that he did for the Phantom of the Opera, and the work that was done on Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, that was handcrafted, and those were folks that were just learning and getting better. And that's what's good about cosplay. I think it can lead folks to great careers, and like it led you to WrestleMania. It really did.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, 100% agree. And there's so many cool things, like that cool people that I've met just from the community. Honestly, John, I would not change this experience for the life of me, to be honest with you. I would not change one thing about it. It's been such an awesome ride, and I'm excited to see what we can do next. Cosplay has given me an outlet to be creative, has given me another form of income, has given me a way to connect with friends, my daughter, my peers. Cosplay as a whole has been such a brilliant thing for me in my life, and I'm hoping I'm able to give back to the community the way that it has so graciously given to me.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Well, look, Matt, we certainly appreciate having you on here tonight from beautiful sunny Myrtle Beach, an expert in cosplay. We'll get some links and some photos up that you give me. We'll get those up on Comic-Con Stars, and we are now moving. We are now moving from Sunday night to Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the VOC Nation. This Thursday night, we will have Phasma Paranormal, a leading paranormal research group from, believe it or not, the Myrtle Beach area. And they're going to be on talking about some of the ghost hunts and explorations that they have done and a little bit about exorcisms. They are both certified exorcists through a branch of the church. Then we will also have Little Spider Creations. You ever heard of Little Spider Creations, Matt? They're from the Myrtle Beach area as well.
I have not.
They build the largest haunted houses in the world. They build haunted houses for Six Flags, Busch Gardens, and they just built one for Warner Brothers and put it in over in Spain. So they're going to talk about building large life, bigger than life props. So I hope you and everybody else can join us at our new time and new home on the VOC Network, VOC Nation, 9 o'clock this coming Thursday evening for Comic-Con Stars. Look, Matt, thanks a lot. Have a great evening.
You too, buddy. You too.
All right, and we'll talk to everybody Thursday night at 9 right here on the VOC Nation. Have a good one from Comic-Con Stars.